Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with CMS Chief Operating Officer John Dyer. Also joining us in our conversation is Lois Romeo. John, until 2001, CMS was known as the Healthcare Financing Agency, or HCFA. In addition to a new name, CMS was reorganized into lines of business. Could you share with us some information about this reorganization? Specifically, what were the goals of the reorganization? How did you track progress against those goals? And when was the reorganization completed?
Okay. The reorganization was started a little bit before my time, even I think it was 2002. And it was Tom Scully and Secretary Tommy Thompson who came up with the idea. I think it was several factors as to why they changed the name. One, I think that the old name HCFA, as the acronym was, Healthcare Financing Administration, had negative connotations. I think the sense was that the agency had not been as responsive as people would like. But more importantly, the secretary and the administrator, from what I, again, have been told, saw that the mission and what the agency was doing was changing, that it was becoming more of a service organization, not just simply a financing. It had been viewed before that it just paid for Medicaid in the states, paid for the fees that of the services of the doctors for the various Medicare beneficiaries. But now it was moving into getting into preventive services. It was mixing up the kind of programs it would finance and pay for and reimburse, moving from fee-to-service to managed care. So the thinking was to change the image and the title. And my memory is when I at least read the accounts of going through and talked to friends there, the secretary asked for ideas for the name. And at the end, they picked the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, picking up on the notion of services, picking up on the notion that Medicare and Medicaid were the two major aspects of what the agency was known for and what it was accountable for. Now, as we look at it with Dr. McCullen, we even see it as a public health organization, because when the Medicare Modernization Act was passed a couple of years ago, it expanded the role and encouraged the agency to go into preventive care services to pay for them, such as immunization shots, physical. When I was there 15 years ago for a couple of years, it was very simply, if you had a medical problem, you got surgery, it paid for it, and that was it. Now it covered a wide spectrum, tried to move more into it, the prevention, and as we've gotten into now bringing up a major prescription drug program, that really helps the person take care of themselves. They don't have to go to the extreme of surgery if medication works or other choices work. So we see ourselves as more a whole approach to it. So the name carries that connotation with it.
You use the term service, and since reorganizing, we know that CMS has taken steps to improve customers' understanding of Medicaid and Medicare. How did CMS decide to focus on customer satisfaction, and what steps did CMS specifically take?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, service in the health world is either that you got well from the medical procedures and that you're happy with the outcome. So ultimately, you really need to think about what people's satisfaction is, particularly as you're moving towards health maintenance organizations where there's a lot more of are they really giving an overall good package and a good approach to people as people begin to shift in that direction. So that was the stuff. The other thing is you got to realize that we're serving in Medicare 42 million people and in Medicaid a little over 40. And it's very important that they understand and have a good appreciation of what we cover, how it works, that it's easy for them to understand. These are elderly people. Some things can be a little confusing. I get confused at 58 with some of the things I have to understand. So the whole idea was how to make sure that our beneficiaries, people who actually paid into Medicare for all their life have put aside money to pay for it, or Medicaid where they tend to be at the low-income spectrum and more, I guess, in need, that how do we make sure that they really can understand what is available to them, how the program works, and now that we have, as I said, different ways, different things we'll finance, whether it's fee-for-service, managed care, prescription drug, that they understand what the implications are, what it means to them in terms of premiums, paying out of pocket. So we have really built a lot more of an outreach benefit approach. We have a center called for beneficiary choice, And it has a large part of it is to be service-oriented, in contact with the beneficiaries. The programs range from we run an 800 number nationally, which has a traffic of over 40 million calls a year. You know, it's going to reach over 50 this year. You have lots of information we put out now in English and Spanish where we've tried to simplify it, make it very clear. We have websites that we've brought up, w.medicare.gov, where you can go in and ask basic questions of what's going on. We work with the providers to give them information that they can pass on with the doctor, nurse. When we were doing the drug card, we had a lot of information we provided to pharmacies because we knew the beneficiaries, people, would be coming in there, and that would be a good place to contact. So the emphasis is, you know, this is a program people have a right to and they've earned, and we're trying to figure out how best make it easy for them to understand how to operate, what their choices are.
John, as you look at your key operational goals, can you help our listeners understand what some of those are for the year?
Yeah. This past year, the key one has been to bring up the Medicare Modernization Act that got passed a couple of years ago. The biggest piece of it is what I mentioned earlier is the prescription drug program. And it provides has us setting up plans across the country. We refer to them as PDPs, prescription drug plans, are under the managed care, or MA as we use the acronym. You can take your HMO, Health Maintenance Organization program, and add more prescription drug features to it or mix it up. So the act calls for us to have it in place and up and running November 15th. And on November 15th, the public can begin to sign up with the plans. And we have for the past year been working with the industry, going out, explaining what it is, laying out the rules of how it'll work. We completed the contracts and the bidding and all that a month or so ago. And so people who want to get into a prescription drug plan are able to pick and choose whichever plan they want. There are multiple plans out there. And we've also have set up websites to help you narrow down to if you want to pay certain premium range or this or that. The pricing is very good. But that is what we've been spending our time putting in. So one has been to lay out the policies and how it worked. The statute left a lot of the decision-making up through the regulatory process of how to design the plans, what to require, what the specs would be. Where to put the subsidies, adjust a lot of policy issues that we spent the last year and a half working through. The second thing is that you have to bring up huge systems to handle this, and that's where I've been spending quite a bit of time, which is that it involved 15 systems. And everything from how does the plan know that the person is eligible for Medicare who's applying to the plan, the process for enrolling the person, for us to know who the plan is, the processes to pay the plan, the business processes we've worked out with Social Security to identify low-income recipients and also with Social Security. If someone wants the premium for the prescription plan taken out of their Social Security check, they can do that. So we've worked that through the systems with Social Security. So all of that has been put into place, plus then the follow-on of appeals, the tracking through. We also put together a campaign. I don't know if you've been watching the campaign in full, but about half a year ago we started to say it's coming. The president joined us and announcing this looks good. Then we began to start to explain what the plans would look like, what you needed to think about. There are roughly five different groups of people out there that we think we break the plans in. There are the low-income eligible. The Act requires subsidies for particular people that their annual income is below a certain amount or their resource levels. It secondly takes care of what we call the auto-enrolls. These are folks that were being covered before for the prescription drugs by Medicaid, which we were paying Medicaid for. Now they move directly over to our plans. They have what I call euphemistically the regular. That's the vast majority of the Medicare retirees. There's a smaller group of those who are already in managed care plans with us that they can expand or adjust their plan. And then the law also has a feature for if you come in the private sector and your business that you're working with gave you health coverage, prescription coverage after you retired, such as a General Motors or some of the bigger companies tend to be there, it provides a subsidy if that company brings its prescription drug feature of its plan in sync with our basic requirements. They get an 18% subsidy, which goes towards paying for their costs. So it had a lot of features, and we had to start to lay out how do you explain to people this. We put it in the Medicare Up handbook, and we've sort of been laying that out. We've been now moving to say, okay, we have these websites you can go to or you can call our 800 number. So a major effort to get information out so people would understand how it works, what the advantages are, what the pricing has come out to be. So is it convenient to them? Does it meet their cost requirements? Is it a good deal for them?
John, we've heard a lot about the contributions of various public and private enterprises in the wake of the hurricane disasters. How did CMS specifically contribute to the Hurricane Katrina disaster relief?
In lots of ways. First of all, remember, we're a financing organization. We don't have doctors and nurses that you can send out necessarily. We have some that did go. But generally, what we did is we looked at a couple things. On the Medicare front, the secretary and the administrator moved very quickly to issue waivers. We have a lot of requirements that you have to have procedures done by certain doctors and groups that have gone through, you know, various certifications and protocols. We waived a lot because getting medical care, not every hospital, not every doctor in the situation they were under could deliver it. So we moved very fast to make sure that we could finance and reimburse quickly for what was ever out there. On the Medicaid front, we worked with the states because you had a lot of folks crossing state lines, being moved around. This was a hurricane that one of the first I can really remember where it went largely outside each state's jurisdiction of impact. So we early on were working with the states of, well, how do you pay for someone moving, Medicaid moving from one state to the other? What were the implications? We've been working with the states and the governors and the Congress to work through for the future payment of Medicaid, what will be 100% federal, what will be continue to be a state match. So everything we could do to be responsive to make sure that the money was going to follow whatever the services were, and that people moving from one jurisdiction or out of one style of paid program would be picked up elsewhere, we did as fast as we could. The second thing that's been done by CMS is that the president asked the secretary to take the lead for helping Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama bring back up to the degree whatever medical capacity had been, infrastructure had been lost. It made sense to have us involved because we're one of the big payers. We pay for about a third of the care in this country. So my administrator, he and tasked the deputy, our deputy, Leslie Norwalk, to be working on this multiple group that has people from the state, locals, and out of the federal establishment to start to think through, well, how do you begin to bring back up the healthcare system? Obviously, our input being to support where the states and locals want to go. So I haven't seen too much of our deputy administrator because she's been spending a lot of time working on the task forces. Mark McClellan, of course, went and made several visits with the secretary to the region so that he could have his ear to the ground, see what we could have done, and have tried to basically respond on what they're hearing and what the needs and requirements have. Been working with the Congress, with the Office of Management and Budget and everybody to move forward and make sure, you know, things get covered and the funding gets taken care of. So overall, it's been quite an effort. The other thing we learned was how to prepare to be even better and more responsive to upcoming hurricanes. So as Wilma came and others have been arriving, we've been integrated early on and have started working with the medical groups, the hospital groups, and sitting down with them and saying, okay, if the storm's going to move this way, how are you going to move the patients? Where is the best way to move them? How do we move the financing to go with them? How do we track for the continuity of their care? And have tried to be even more proactive up front. So it's been a good learning experience and I think a good success story. And at the end, I think people will be pleased as to where Secretary Leavitt and others go with those communities to have first-class medical systems reestablished there.
That's great. How is CMS supporting the OMB Circular A-123 implementation? We will ask CMS Chief Operating Officer John Dyer to explain this to us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.